Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Blue Abroad Show on Monday, the 24th of April, 2023. After round six, we are about 24 hours removed from the round six loss to the Saints. And I think tonight's going to be, I don't know what tonight will be. It's going to be a bit deep, I think. I think we're going to go right into all sorts of things. And we appreciate you being here on this Anzac Day Eve. Pommy, hello, mate.
You're right. How are you doing? Back again. So Callan must have lost.
I'm not going to lie. So when we have really disappointing losses, I resort to what I'm comfortable with, and that's you. We've done too many of them. So
we are like the Crips and Walsh combination, aren't we? Like when in doubt. So I mean. That means one of the guys who helps out is Matt Kennedy at halfback flank. Don't know who that is. I'll think about it.
I also enjoy doing this with you as well. But no, I think after losses, there's something about just talking to you because it just, look, I think no matter what, at the end of the show, we're going to feel, I don't know, a little bit better. How are you feeling 24 hours removed? After a sleep, there's always a little bit more context that gets provided, but how do you feel right now and you guys at home?
I don't know. This one is a bittersweet. Well, not even sweet. It's just bitter, let's be honest. Like, someone's totally ballsed up the Victoria sponge on this one. I'm hurting. I'm angry. I'm confused. It's a bit like the perfect partner swiping on Tinder and you turn up and it's not a. It's someone else. That's how I feel. I feel really lost and confused. And to be honest, yeah. I just want to go into a corner of a room, shake and cry for a bit.
Yeah. I have a feeling that because of what last week was, it made yesterday feel worse. I think I spoke last week around the way we lose and the alarm bells and all of that. If anything, that performance last night was not very dissimilar to the way we lost to the Saints at the back end of last year. There were similarities in it because it was the execution and the skills and the opportunities that we didn't take and the shots in front of goal and should he have snapped, should he have drop punted. But yeah, then I listened to Ross Lyon's press conference. That is not good viewing if you want to stay calm. I'll tell you that much.
To have a side that every pundit had in the bottom four tell me due to injuries, they queued in the rack the fourth quarter. He's spoiler. Do you remember the Ken Hinckley rant that might come back this week? That was a big kick in the short and curlies. I mean, there's a lot of questions. I've got a lot of questions about this football club. I've got a lot of, I wouldn't say resentment because, yeah, actually, it's resentment. That's a lie. It's total resentment. How you go from what was last year was a really clever game plan for a set of group of individuals that played to their strengths. And what kept us going was work rate. And it's ironic because the media spent all last year bagging Carlton and Collingwood. And one side has just maximised that and just gone again, and that's Collingwood. They've just done the same as what they've always done. But no one's talking about every other team's mirroring them. Even St Kilda with that manic pressure around the ball, and when they go, they go. They sit back and then they go hard. Sydney, they play that way. Brisbane play that way. All the teams literally are playing that get the ball, go short and go quick, and there's a reason. If you go and do any draft profiling, you will find there's probably less than 10% of players that are elite kicks now. Handball is such a prominent thing in junior footy. Most of the good junior sides play a quick style. So kick mark is dying, and most pundits even agree 2030, the mark will be almost dead. The kick mark will be almost dead and handballs are getting higher. There was a great article this time last year that is the kick dying because of how much teams handball? And then you watch what we're doing, and we're playing like Fremantle. We're playing like West Coast Eagles, slow, controlled. And you see the error with our boys, and it's not so much the kicking and the accuracy, it's the work rate ahead of the ball. You saw in the first quarter when it looked all right, players have to work incredibly hard to run into space when you play that game plan. It's not just your kicking, it's also how hard you work. Jesus was terrific in the first quarter for doing that. So was Jesus, and so was Motlop, Durden. But once that started to go, especially in the second half when they brought the pressure and the questions asked, you've got to be a very brave man to run off your man to hit space just in case you turn it over. And that is where the indecision, the doubt comes. So it's not just the inaccuracy, but when you're playing a short game plan, you're never going to kick more than 80. You're never going to kick more than 80, which then says every goal shot is important. Every pressure act is important. And that is a big problem as you hemorrhage down to where you are. Now, I don't want to be negative, because far be it from me, but I look at Bolton, 2016, 2017, good starts. Then there was that article, Carlton have never kicked 100 points in 3 years. It's barbaric. They're the only side. Bolton had that big presser in the preseason. We're going to be more offensive. Wheels fell off massively. 2019. Oh, it's a smoky period for Carlton. It's the honeymoon period. They can't play on fumes and energy all the time. They're going to have to be more defined. Back end of that COVID year, we started to fall off. Press started to say Carlton don't win tight games because of their exhaustible game plan. Next year, what did they do? We went to this controlled style like Bolton did. Second year, too much criticism on Vossi. McRae was bullish in the press. Vossi has always defended his system and saying there's another layer. There's another layer. There's another layer coming. Slow, safer game plan comes out. And that's a concern to me. Why do we get led by the media? Who the fuck are the media? I don't know who half of the guys who write stuff are. Never heard of them. Don't care. You know what I mean? But where's that been led from? Because the original style suited these boys. You couldn't get Pep Guardiola to Luton Town and tell them to play that way because they're not skillful enough. They're not skillful enough.
Mm. Do you think the balance of a controlled game style and an instinctive game style has swung too far the other way? Because I still believe we need to learn how to play that game style, not so much for four quarters, maybe to end quarters or in patches. But it's like the pendulum swung completely the other way.
Why? Why do you have to play a slow game style?
Is it a long-term play? Because in finals, in prelims, in grand finals, the game slows down, the game tightens up. You need to know how to do it. It's like we were only allowed to play the ball in a really slow, methodical way. And we need to improve on it. And maybe this is the layer, but...
Mate, anything pre-2010 in the AFL, do this with it. No one cares.
Yeah.
And not harsh. Good memories, yeah, but you can't play that way. There's a reason that the top teams, particularly Geelong, and Chris Scott was a big advocate of this, their system was fantastic for 23 rounds in finals when it's do or die. They didn't have the fifth gear, was the words he said. We couldn't control the uncontrollable. Right. So they brought chaos. Right. And they've learned to control it. Cold hard facts are the best teams in the land do get dicked. You've seen Sydney get dicked this weekend. Live by the sword, die by the sword. But when you get 40 points ahead, 50 points ahead, like Brisbane did to Collingwood, you can control. You should control. And Hannah nails it. Instinct. Voss's original game plan was instinctive. They didn't have time to think. It was hit target, go, hit target, go, hit target, go. You look, the cold hard facts are since the bye last year, Carlton have won 7 games, lost 9, won with a percentage of 8 negative, with 80%. And the numbers of kicks to handballs getting higher. Massive increase in playing on from the mark. Right? A massive decrease in that. So Voss has obviously reacted. The last 8 rounds last year, Voss played with his best midfield once. So there's the explanation if Voss needs to know why did it fall off. His balls died. But they still finished 9th. He's got his balls back and he's playing a controlled game style. And unfortunately, Fisher ain't cut out for it. Jesus ain't cut out for it. Cripper ain't cut out for it. These players can't play that way. And it's a beautiful system in hindsight, but it can't work. But then you've got to come on to the players. The players are paid employees of the football club. Their job is to execute whether they like the plan or they don't. That's fact. If you're paid, you're not paid to think, you're paid to do, unless you're in a position of authority. These players executed that game plan, the worst I've ever seen a game plan be executed. So they've got to be held into account as well. And we're getting to a stage now where this is a recycling pattern. And for me, if Voss is honest with himself, he needs it because our tolls need quick ball. That is why everyone's taking the piss out of him and saying Harry's not playing well, because they need quick ball. This slow, stagnant ball makes them the easiest players to defend ever.
Fair. Well, we're going to get into it. We are absolutely going to get into it. We're going to have the Blue Broad show now. 8 p.m. we're going to do the player ratings live. So it's a big night ahead. We're going to play the fan cams compilation from last night and then kick this show off. So stand by. What are we doing? What are we wasting our time for? A disappointing display.
I just sometimes, you know, when you watch something and you're just like, I can't be witnessing it. It's not real. On a start of that game, you know, when you've got the wonderful Anzac ceremony, a time that I think, when I think, what does World War II mean to me? What does Anzac mean to me? I think tactics. I think discipline. I think people mucking in together. I think people, you know, doing the unthinkable in the name of one fucking journey, one voice. And you look at our midfield, 30 of the most pointless touches you've probably ever seen from about half of them. You've got Vossi going out there with probably one of the most defensive game plans, which you understand, but then you remember count and cut kick. Easy mistakes time and time and time and time again. It's the same stupid mistakes.
Mate.
What are we doing, Joe?
What do you say? That was like, that was Bolton days. That wasn't Teague days. That was Brennan Bolton days, man, that second half. Like, what the hell did we just...
I don't get it anymore, man. How many times can you miss targets like that? That's not AFL standard.
20 years. It starts at the top with completely unrealistic expectation, and it spreads like wildfire.
It's the same conversation, right? It's the same fucking conversation.
It is, and it's fundamentally wrong, and it's almost in a worse place where you want to be, because you either want to be in that obviously absolutely contending, or you want to be in complete rebuild. We've gone through the rebuild, and we seem to be middling. That is what we are right now.
A factory of hope.
...has done over the summer to make us better. We've removed our clearance assets, which was shown in occasions today, and we haven't made progress with ball movement. If not, we've got worse.
Yeah, fuck. I think...
I love you, mate.
Mate. Can you not make me laugh, please? I'm so angry. I'm so heartbroken. Now, I'm trying not to be reactive and... You know what I mean? Like, be a hothead. But I'm just looking at all the wins we've had under him. Nothing looks like last week against Adelaide, and nothing that we've had looks like today what Sankey would have produced. They got half their list out, mate.
Full of injuries.
Unbelievable. And look how they play. Coaching matters.
The pain and the disappointment is what binds us together. It's crazy.
It's sad. It's actually sad.
Like, do we know what we're going to expect going into a game? Do we know how we're going to play? Do we know how we're going to... What our avenue for goal is? What is it? Kicking it high and long into forward 50 and hoping one of our tolls take a mark and kick a goal? Because even when they do get a free kick or take a mark, which is very unlikely as of late, obviously, considering how shit our entries are, they missed. Our kicking in front of goal 100% let us down today.
Then third quarter comes around, I saw same old Carlton. Saif was asking what we're missing, and frankly, it's on-field leadership in terms of all our leaders on our field have been bred out of a losing culture.
I'm sorry, but Bolton means too much. Not for you, not for me, it's for everybody. It's a community club. And you can't have players in there that think they're more important than the club. It's like, you know, it's like it's a game, but it means something to people. You know, yeah. People care about this. You know, you can't just say, oh, you know, we'll work on it next time. You know, it's always next time. Dude, this is, people care about this shit. Like, you might not think it's important, but I do.
Because I ain't getting it right now. Actually, if anything, I don't know if anyone's made this bold call. I can't believe I'm actually saying this. Our season's done. Our season is done. And the real reason why I'm saying this, one, if as a collective they can seriously fix this inside and out and have it to go deep into their soul of what it takes to actually win, I'm done.
Well, mate, we'll see you soon.
I'm done. I ain't coming back until we actually play finals, let alone win the flag. That's a statement.
Fair. Well, look after yourself. See ya. And that's that. That's the fan cams for round six. It's getting so tiresome. Thank you to everybody that tuned in. I'm going to go have a nap. Have a nice 12-hour nap. I don't know. Something's got to give. A lot of questions being asked. Find ourselves doing this again. It's all too familiar.
Sorry. I lost it when he ended with, I'm done the last time. Right, okay, I'm back.
Six rounds in. And we have a retiree from the fan cams. Shades of 2021 when you retired after round two. there's a real sad reality to that, right? Like it actually made me happy because we were together and we're feeling that emotion together and we're there for each other and the community spirit and all of that. And that's awesome. And I think I said it to Shannon last night. Like it's the saddest part is that it's so familiar. It's so familiar. We don't even know what it's going to be like to be a consistent winning side. We got so excited last year because it was all new. And there was just a feeling of real familiarity and inevitability last night. And I hate that. Like, I love it because it's brought connections together. But I don't know. How much closer are we to a premiership? That's all. That's the process moving forward. That's all I really care about, where we're heading, you know?
Yeah. Maybe I'm getting old, and it could be. I am getting old. That's without a shadow of a doubt. But the older I get and the longer I do this with you, there's certain things that worry me, like really worry me. And one of them is particularly when we lose like this and what everyone's feeling, whether you are, your head's in the sands and you're like, it's okay, the boys need our love and TLC, that's okay. That's who you are. If you are burning your membership, that's okay. That's how you show affection. That's how you show care. But, like, just go through the forums and I've seen some comments in here and they wind me up, right? They wind me up. When people say, well, this is what I said 6 years ago, this is what I said. If I did a compilation of every time I've been right about this football club, go and watch the draft process. I've never been wrong, right? But I don't bring it up every fucking 5 seconds, right? Do you know what I mean? Because I am presenting you my emotions and my love for this club. And hopefully, if 10% of you fall in love with me, that's a fucking dub. In fact, I only need one person to. But that is the problem, the circle we go through. suddenly it's not about the club anymore. It's about, I said this, I did that, I did this. Pot shotting each other. I've seen a good couple of colleagues I work with really closely in the Carlton community just be vilified this week for having a bit of fucking faith in the team, right? Vilified, like they went out and gave a dog shit performance, right? But let's flip this back, right? And I push mental health and I'm a huge advocate of it. I waste time talking to you about the mindset of what it's like to do something like this in a sporting background. They're built a bit fucking different. They're not fucking eggs, do you know what I mean, that are going to break from a high height, right? These are full-grown adults making six figures a year, and they haven't done this from 19, 20. They are doing this from 12, 13 years old. They're kids, and they are literally cultivated to be professional athletes. So they ain't like what you think they are. This isn't you and me just off the street working coals in the afternoon and your manager bollocks you when you go home and have a suck. These have been built from day one to be professional athletes. So trust me, they can cope with a little bit of fucking criticism, and they better be getting some criticism in there. But what is going to help this club out is they are so fucking reactive, man. Like, you go back to this time last year, they were playing a brand of football that was billed as the most exciting to watch. And people forget that. This is the coming of age of this Blues. But the pundits, the guys who claim they know everything, were the big ones who hated it. It's not sustainable. And you know what? I'm going to let anyone to win a secret. Anything that's successful isn't sustainable to the average Joe. Because to be brilliant, to be excellent, you're built different. You ain't built like everyone else. And sustainability is only sustainable if you give a shit. If you give a shit. And I see Adonis, he's having cracks. Winds me up. No such thing as poor footballers. Go and watch junior football. They all play the same way. Kicking stats have gone down since 2010. They are getting worse. Listen to some of the older pundits. They criticise, oh, we can't kick. That's because game plans are changing from long kicking styles. These boys have been set up to fail. But the boys don't come under no criticism because Voss is telling them to go out here. He is their boss, right? So they haven't got time to think. They aren't paid to think. They aren't paid to think outside the square. They have a cute little fucking box and it's live in that box. And they executed Voss's game plan abhorrently last night. Abhorrently, even worse than the day before. And I came on the show when we lost and everyone was saying Adelaide are good. And I was like, no, they're fucking not. They're 14th, 12th at best. Hawthorn nearly beat them. And all Hawthorn did was build the fucking basics. Build the basics. And Adelaide was shit. They were shit. They couldn't do it because they played quick. Mitchell is a student of the game. And he's one of the few coaches who plays modern day football from the off. And that is a scary thing, right? And people can say, oh, well, Pommy, we had the same amount of scoring shots. Half of our shots were from 50. Let that sink in. 50-metre penalties, which tells you one thing. Carlton couldn't break through that midfield press. And if you can't build through the midfield press, you ain't winning anything. How do you break Rossi's game plan? Rossi's game plan went downhill. Downhill, right? For Fremantle, when people worked out how to break it. Short, sharp handballs, right? But there's the big thing. We didn't do that. We went slow. And this week, Eagles love slow play. That's why they're getting dicked all the time. If we play slow against them, they're better than slow, right? And people saying Adelaide are the number one attacking side. Look at how much they've conceded. Look at their stats. Look at who they've played. If we're really a top eight side, you should be able to do what Hawthorn did. And look at some of the losses Hawthorn have had. And that is a big thing for me. That, and Gav, this is why I love Gav. Show some fucking dare, man. Show some dare, Voss. Voss, you've won some. Voss has had one of the best careers in the last 30 years. Show some fucking dare. Don't be scared. David King crying about you. Go out there and play your way, because you know where my anger comes from? These boys can fucking play football. These boys deserve to play football. These boys are feared as individuals, but as a team, they're laughed at us. We're laughed at as a team. Go out there and go back to basics. But no talk about we should have got fucking Ross the boss. No talk about we should have got Cowton. If we knew, if we had hindsight, we should have got Uniaki Davis. Do you know what I mean? We shouldn't have brought Sauce back. Do you know what I mean? You can't live like that. Right now, we have no trade period. We can't sack a coach. Well, we can if you want. But we've got to do with what we're doing. We've got to deal with what we're doing, right? Don't want to hear about any other club. Adelaide shouldn't have beat us by 50. Last week, they beat us by 50. This week, controlled by Hawthorn, who are the statistical worst midfield in the world, right? They beat them. That is what we've got to do. And it starts this week. So we can have a rant for 30 more minutes. But at some point, we're going to have to slap ourselves in the face. We've got to go fucking to war. We've got to go to war again.
Whew. Have a breath, mate. Yeah.
You're sick of being here, Terry.
Yeah, I know. One of the narratives that has annoyed me over the last 24 hours is... like there's an understanding that you play against Ross Lyon and Ross Lyon, like the Saints are hard to score against, which they are. In six games, he's given them that identity already. Where I'm getting more confused is our lack of identity all of a sudden again. And one of the things I feared this week was losing because of what we have seen over the last 24 hours. More divide between fans and club, fans and fans. Less trust between fans and club. And where that is the perfect storm for where the toxicity starts to grow. And, yep, we as the fans have to take accountability and look ourselves in the mirror and really own that. But... I fail to understand how we can do that when we invest so much time into this club and we get spoken to. This is a bugbear of mine, the way we get spoken to. It's really frustrating because I would be stunned if they are speaking to each other the way that they speak to the media about us. Nathan Buckley made some really interesting comments this morning on SEN. I'm not sure if those of you at home caught them. And he mentioned... as a coach, when you know the root cause of an issue, sometimes you don't want to put it out there because it will invite greater pressure on that specific issue. So sometimes you talk in with vague language. I think that's what we're starting to hear right now. And on the one hand, I get it. Vossi's backing in his players and you know, we are a united club and all of these things. But at the end of the day, if we really don't care what the media think and we really don't care what the external noise is, why do we continue to talk to our fans the same way we did in 2015, 2016? It's the same. It's actually the same language. It hasn't evolved.
Because the culture, because of how they cultivated, of how they've cultivated it, of how they've cultivated the whole system. If you want my honest opinion, it's long, but you look at Ross the Boss, he's come in and instantly Mason Wood, a person last year that I know a lot of Saints fans there. I wouldn't say they're my second team, but they're a team because of my wife that I keep a lot of interest in. And I have a lot of St. Kilda friends, much to my chagrin this weekend. But one thing they did, and Mason Wood, they all wanted rid of Mason Wood. Mason Wood was like our plan to them. They were like, he's a fucking waste of money. He's useless. Do you know what I mean? What a bad trust. He's come in, and you hear Mason Wood this week. If you can't do your job, Ross goes out and finds someone, right, to do it for you. Now imagine what pressure that puts in. Instantly lifts the standard. You can't do it. I don't give a fuck about your name. I don't give a fuck about your history. You will do the job I have asked you to. And if you don't, fuck off, someone else comes in, right? And that is why... not only is he a good team, right? Is he a good coach? Can he take them to win a grand final? Time will tell. But I will say one thing. When they signed Saints, it was going to go one or two ways, right? But he's lifted his standards and he's added another dimension, the attack play on football. So he's learned. He's a student of the game. But his standards are massive. But also he accepts no shit. Accepts no shit. You hear him in the press conference. There was something no one's talked about. How he defended his results, right? And Rock was asked the same question 2 weeks ago. You drew with Richmond, but they're shit. Geelong are injured. And he gave him that shit, right? He got that question. And Voss danced over the question. Where Ross went straight on the counter-offensive. I don't think the shit. Essendon are the form team. We beat them. And he instantly defends his players and says, you're not being fair. And imagine being a player. I was just listening to Mason Wood. I was thinking, imagine being a player of him saying to me, you're playing in the VFL. As soon as one of these dickheads fucks up, you're in, son. You're in. I would do anything for him straight away. And you look at Stocker, very limited footballer. Look at the role that Voss has given him. Be tough, win the ground ball, get it on the outside to one of your good ball users. Genius movement. And St Kilda are very progressive. People take the piss out of them. They have a massive LGBTI following. They have a massive respect similar program. You don't hear about it as much from the outside. You do if you're in the club and you're a member. Very different football focus, very progressive. Cowan still do the same thing, man. Like, we're still stuck in the 90s. And I mean this with love. No one can question my love for the team. But Carlton Football Club can't learn anything from the 95 flag. It can't learn off anything off the other 15. Different players, different mindsets. Also, a system when you bought what you needed. Nowadays, everything is capped, even the cups of coffee. So we've got to go out into another mindset. You've got to go out into another mindset of, how do you do it in this century? How do you do it this decade? And until we really get serious, that is going to always hold us back. And that is why, to answer your question, you get this shit messaging from the club, not the result we wanted. Who's sick of that? Who's sick of hearing that? Who's sick of hearing not the result we wanted or not the plan we had or not what we thought would happen and shit like that? Right? But that is literally what shits me, is that the messaging from St Kilda outside is football, and then they focus on everything else to their fans. Cowan's is all deflection, all the time. And that's the first thing that Ross has done well. Accountability of their team, their players, of their fan base, of their culture. Everything has been accountable, very open for them. As opposed to what we do, where it's all deflection. St Kilda had a wonderful email about the internals of Walsh leaving that football club and what had happened there. When we had people leave, it was just, oh, yeah, we did a review. Oh, well, what happened in that review? Oh, these people got sacked. Like, yeah. It's them little messaging gives faith. And that's why there's disenchantment, because you don't want to see Voss go, oh, half of our defence is good, half of our forwards were good. Oh, that's okay. It'll come together. You want him to say, execution was shit. Tactically, Ross pegged me back into my own half, as the heat maps clearly show, for 80 minutes of the game. And you want him to talk to you and just say to you, yes, it went wrong. But instead, he does treat you like you're 8 years old and your nana's died, and they're wording it to you like, oh, she's just having a bit of a sleep. But when you're 5 years older, you go, fuck, she died. Like, do you know what I mean? Your brain twigs. It was a lie.
Yeah. So now what?
I think it transcends, though. And I don't want to talk about players too much, but your boy, Zach Fisher, he's done fuck all year apart from one good game. But where's his pressure? Where's his Mason Wood moment? Because Fogarty is playing that role for the last three games, and he's been named in the best five, not just from our report, but also the opposition's report, right? Where's that pressure of... Because if Fisher's job is to run around, get 20 possessions and do sweet fuck all and look like he's at Zumba, okay. But I don't think it is. Why is Fisher not coming in, right? And then you look at George Hewitt, 30 touches for 17 metres gained. Cam Paulson used to get 70 metres gained for four possessions. And he was a pocket forward. So it's these little things of how does that happen? And then you ask, where's the motivation? Where's the accountability? There's no accountability, but also now our VFL is becoming a horrible place where it's the same people getting selected. TDK, the rumours were he's dropped. Voss comes out and goes, oh, he's injured. Oh, is he?
No, he was sick during the week.
Yeah, sick. But you see there, where's the opening for that? Where is like the transparency of that? Because the rumours were he was dropped, and that was what the club was. That was what the insiders of the club were saying through the media. Plowman is a great example. Kemp has sacrificed his job of last year being a forward, moving down to the back again, playing the McGovern role and doing quite well. One person is injured, McGovern. Plowman out of nowhere, who was playing high half-back flank, the opposite role. And it's the same people. It's the same people on like a conveyor belt. And then, great point by Adonis and Byrne. Then you look at Ash Hansen, and Ash Hansen, I talked about it in my review. This guy is becoming the new fucking... This guy is becoming the new Barker at this club, who just seems to be there and gets away with it. Hansen's forward line at the Dogs, there is an article from 2021 about the Dogs' forward line and how it's fucking a game changer. It's about getting the ball closer to 50, which allows them to deliver the most touches inside 50 of any side in the league. And that was their big thing. That was why they went after Bailey Smith, a guy that can use the ball inside 50 and get them closer to target marks. If this is Hansen's game plan, fuck me, that's bad. Like, he's pulled the wool over. He could be the new Barker. Legit, he could be the new Barker, bro. Like, Tim Clark, that worries me. I love Tim Clark coming back because they've got a lot of happy memories. The midfield looked fantastic last year. Is Tim Clark not saying anything going, Voss, this game plan's not working with my boys? Because that was the selling point. They had a relationship with him as kids. And where is the objection at the club? That's what scares me. Who is objecting? Who is fucking objecting? Are we just allowed to do what we want? Because at the end of the day, and if Luke Sayers hears this right, we've been big supporters of him. He will leave his tenure probably this year, probably next year. He'll probably leave. I predict he leaves this year. And do you know why I predict he leaves this year? That'll tell me he doesn't believe in what he's done. And I reckon he leaves this year, right? So he can go, well, I got them nearly into finals, or got them into finals. But who is objecting? Who is calling Voss into the office now and going, what the fucking hell are you doing with this game plan? It's obscene, it's disgusting, it doesn't work. Why? Who is objecting to this? Or is everyone just going, oh, thank you, Mr. Sayers, for paying my check. Oh, yeah. I'll be really good next year.
Is it too early to call it? Season over? Is it too early?
Fuck no. But I tell you what, if we're kicking sideways and backwards when we've got advantage, if we're going slower and slower and slower, if you're looking at players running around lost in that fourth quarter, and if I see one more fourth fucking quarter when there is four goals in it and we're playing keep ball.
Yeah, that was.
We're playing keep ball.
That said a lot about the mentality of the group. And the question posed is, was that instruction or did they go rogue? Were decisions made on the fly? It couldn't have been the instruction to go backwards with 8 minutes to go.
Scares me is who gets dropped there. Like, usually when someone disobeys the game plan, like at work, if you disobey your boss, you get fired. Mm. We never drop players. So doesn't that say to you that maybe they have followed the plan?
I was okay with the stability piece. I think you and I spoke about it last week on the show. I was okay with the stability piece after the Adelaide game because that's just my theory. I think we needed to give them another shot. Now I'm there. Now I'm with you. Now I'm with you in you have to make changes. Also because there have been some really consistent performances at the VFL level. The issue with certain players is there are other players that are not fit and therefore they can't get dropped. If we want to talk about Zach Fisher, we talk about Zach Fisher. I'm dropping Honey before Zach Fisher, and that's probably why Zach Fisher stays in the side. If Cunningham, Martin, and these guys were fit, we can have a conversation around Zach Fisher going. There are certain guys in the side that don't have that pressure below them.
Really?
I think so. You're going to play bins and a half all the time, are you?
Cowan of the Michael Voss at the moment has shown he's the master chameleon. I mean, at the moment, I'm seeing Matt Kennedy play the Doherty role of halfback.
That is bemusing to me.
Okay. So I'll ask this. Fisher and Honey, I don't think should be in this side, right?
Right.
And I'll give you two options. Last 3 weeks, Lockie Fogarty has played 70% high half forward, 30 in the midfield. Okay, cool. That's what Fisher's dream is, play him high half forward. At least he tackles, right? And Carroll rests on the wing, little bit inside, and then high half forward. Like, because set a standard. Because at the moment, you know what will scare people? That forward line needs a little bit of fucking leadership. Kerno doesn't want to tell the boys. No. Harry certainly doesn't. Harry, yeah, at the moment, fuck knows what's going on him. Zach Fisher is actually scarily the most get played forward. He's a senior forward, right?
Yeah.
He's a senior forward. Do you trust him to lead the ship? Like, Jackson Binns, for fuck's sake, he rests 20%, 80% on the ring. At least Jackson Binns has a little bit of chutzpah about him. Do you know what I mean? Like, but we should be at the stage where we're not giving chances. We're making an example. And I'll tell you what, I reckon all this list knows when Zach Fisher's fit, he plays. Drop him. See the eyes light up and go, because he's always the same players, Terry. Oh, always can't be in the side. He doesn't do anything. Oh, bring Honey in. Oh, Plowman comes in, if any, Backman. It's obvious what they're doing. The players know they're safe. So I'm saying this, if it is true, like you said, that some people thought the players were dissenting in the fourth quarter, fucking chop a head off. Harry. Drop someone. It's easy to drop TDK. But fuck TDK. He's not even our best ruckman. Drop a good player, a brand name, and make these players go, oh my God, I'm not safe anymore. Because Ed Kerno walked into this team. He's still there. O'Brien was Voss's first choice. He quickly dropped him. There is no consistency. If I'm a player now, I don't know what flies. And that is a problem. So if I'm Voss, and Voss, if you're listening to this, six players need to be chopped this week. Six. Don't care which six, can be any fucker. But do it and take the club back, and a bit of self-preservation on these guys.
Yeah, there's probably four of them that I would change for what we've got in right now, and that's including I would definitely drop Ed. I would definitely drop Honey. The issue is Motlop might be suspended, which we'll touch on, which probably allows Zach Fisher to stay in the side. I think we struggle. I think Cowan might need a bit of a rest as well. Saad will come in. This would go against what I feel, but I think Boyd would have to play because of the ball use. I want to see Carroll in the team instead of Dow, personally, because I think Carroll is a better ball user, and young Binsey as well. I'm not sure about De Koning just yet. I'd like to see him play and dominate.
I mean, it'd be sick. I mean, for me, Boyd's got
what I've just said. There are still players left in the side that still deserve to be dropped.
Mate, it's West Coast Eagles. If we're at the stage now that we're fearing the second worst side in this fucking competition, Jesus Christ, bring Teague back, bring Bolton back. You know what I mean? Let's go back to be the fun club. But for me, you've got to set standards. And I don't care Dow's had opportunities. Fuck him. Man United dropped Ronaldo. Ronaldo has done more in a week than these players have done combined. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Ronaldo will die and they'll close Portugal down for a year. Do you know what I mean? 50 years' time, Harry Mackay dies, Bendigo moves on. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. They'll still open shops there. They won't even notice it. So that's my point. Harry, right? No disrespect to him, and I think it's a bold call. But imagine the players at Carlton Football Club if Voss goes, round 22, Harry, you played on, and you had two behinds. We lost that game by a kick. Collingwood, you played on twice. Charlie played on twice. You had behinds. We missed. Round one, he did it. Round two, he did it. Round three, he did it. Round four, he did it. Round five, he did it. Round six, he did it. Imagine you being a player at selection time and Voss looks you all in the eyes and says to Harry, you're playing in the Magoos this week and I want you to kick five and I want everyone to be a fucking drop punt and I want you to get your confidence back. TDK, you're playing full forward all week because we need to find what the fuck you are. We haven't got a clue, right? Imagine that statement. Imagine being a player. Imagine your balls twitch, thinking, fucking hell, Harry's been dropped. Fuck, I'm not safe anymore. And then imagine it. Imagine that lift. Look at Rashford when they dropped Ronaldo. People were saying he can't do it. He's failed. He went pretty well after that. So for me, that is what you do. You've got to set a standard. And this is the last fucking time you do it. Because after this, we've got them horrible five games where I tell you what, if we're not on, fuck, tell you what, you think you're crying about a 20-point loss to fucking St Kilda, wait for Brisbane to fucking bring out party bags with fucking Cameron from fucking 65.
Yeah. We need to move on because we have 15 minutes left and we've gone and we're still seething. So much confusion around this, but also so much familiarity. I kind of don't really want to talk about the votes, to be honest. Maybe we can mention a couple of players. Who did their job? How about that? Who did their job? Those of you playing at home, who Chesney. Do you walk away? Who do you walk away from? Who do you talk about that game and you walk away from that game saying, yeah, they did their job?
Chesney.
Chera. Yeah, I thought he was our best. Still There's turned the ball problems. Over.
I mean, Chera wears gloves in the autumn and he's now becoming our toughest, most mongrel player. Fuck me. Yeah. What planet am I on?
Played his 100th game. Played a relatively good game. I thought Chera, Walsh, Chincotta.
Chincotta, Pitt and App.
I thought Pitto. Yeah, I think not enough love went to Pitto yet again. The discussion around Pitto is fascinating. Doesn't mark the ball enough around the ground. Doesn't do enough around the ground. I think he broke the record the recent times for the most hit-outs to advantage. I think he had 27 for the game and 18 of them were to advantage. It was a shame that his midfielders couldn't go on and actually do something with that consistently. But I thought he was very good.
He did Pitter things. I mean, Pitter's not going to take 25 touches around the ground.
No, he's not. So we're at this point now where it's just not about the intensity and the application was there in the first half. That's the other thing. Why weren't we able to go up another gear when we controlled so much of the play in the first half? It was 48% possession. We literally controlled the football to conserve energy. Why weren't we able to make another push? Why were we not able to find another gear? Is that really just down to, the Saints are hard to score against? Is that really what it is?
One of the toughest sides to score against the comp. They plough you back. And let's be honest, these boys had zero endeavour. And yeah. I'm going to put this out there. I don't think I've ever seen this Carlton side ever switch gears. I actually don't think they're capable of switching gears. I actually think you're seeing a little bit of Richmond 2017 of how they clang on to games. They just used to batter them. And then they had like the Rocky defense of hands behind the back, hit me on the chin 20 times. And they eventually learned that through confidence. Yeah. I don't think they've got the ability to switch gears. I think when they start slow, you know they finish slow. And Carlton are also brilliant at starting the game like they ended the game. And that's something that's inherent. Like for me, these boys need to play quick. And that's the only way. And it never was going to happen, was it? Like people are saying they kick bad. Fuck me, take away them 450s out there, that's a 50-point loss. So, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, going down the wing, slow, keeping it there, slow, that allows them to set up. That was the easiest defensive job St Kilda have had this year.
Yeah. Let's touch on the VFL, because you did your review.
Oh, they won. Let's talk about
they
that.
They won. Let's summarize to who actually, I mean, like I said earlier, there's been some performances now over the course of the last month, we'll call it. I think there was one bad loss in that month. And then apart from that, there's been some really consistent performances. So which of the guys in the reserves have put their hand up? I think we mentioned Fogarty. I think we'll talk about Paddy Diar because he is a big name that's coming up. Who else from your lens is ready?
You know what? I'm going to say it again.
Yeah.
Right. Dow. Defensive efforts again this week. I've never seen anything like it.
Okay.
I have never seen him do that, even going back to juniors. The work rate on the kid. Sorry. If that's the question mark over him, Tell you what, he chased them down. And you know what did impress me this week as well is he worked for his defence. He actually got into defence and helped them when they got bogged down. Right? So full credit to him. 40 touches, it's tough. Right? And then
he's played well, but he hasn't played at that level consistently. Like the 35-plus possessions week in, week out. He's kicking goals too. So I will give him that.
Mate, he's one person that I look at and I say, you're learning. And it right. might be too late for him, but fair play to him. Fair play to him. He's the defence is the issue. Fuck, he works hard, right? Boydie, that kid could thread a needle with his foot from 30 miles away. Tell you what, he's composed. He's got no fear. I love it. I liked his game. I loved Boydie's game. And I love Cowan. Cowan's my boy. But I'm telling you, I've watched way too much of Cowan as a junior. This game plan will be stifling him. I'd love him to go to VFL for 2 or 3 weeks, find the ball a bit, enjoy himself again, because there's no way he's enjoying the role he's playing. No one would do. And
yeah,
just work on a few things.
Right. So Kemp.
Carroll was good. Carroll was good. Saw a lot more on the half forward. He hit his targets inside 50 as well. And I really like Carroll's role this week.
Kemp, Carroll, Dow and Boyd. Those are the names that I've heard that are putting their hand up. Boyd, I'm a bit mindful of because of the game time, but there is the sub. So those are the four names. I mean, and then Tom De Koning. These are the actual solutions that are available to us for this week, right?
Binsey.
And Bins. Okay.
Binsey, watching him a lot as juniors, I am so impressed as well. See Dow. How hard he works defensively, because that was one of the big question marks of him. Was he defensive setted? And he works incredibly, incredibly hard. And I love how he gets back there. So I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Binsey. He's my boy. And yeah, I'm glad Boyd's back, because I love Cowan. He's been brilliant for me. It's surpassed my expectations in that role, because he's a ball using defender. I'd love him to go back, though, and it not be ironed out of his system. That's what worries me. If he does it too much, don't want him to lose that sexy flair he had. I'd love him to just go back 2-3 weeks, just enjoy himself a little bit.
Right, right. We're going to have a potential hearing this week. So Jesse Motlop was offered a week for his tackle on Dougal Howard. What was your reaction when it happened live? Did you think it was a week?
If St Kilda fans are watching, I apologise. I said, that's it, Motters, fucking kill him. I believe. Which is my reaction, just incidentally, of every tackle counted do. So as soon as he started looking like my nana and granddad dancing on their wedding day, that always strikes me as a week, doesn't it? As soon as you do that spin and you're in control to turn, it's game over.
Yeah, my initial reaction was, I was actually with Willem and we were on the other side of the ground. And my initial reaction was, he's smaller than Dougal Howard, so he needs to use a lot more force to bring him to ground. But I actually think they've applied this one consistently. The only thing I will say is it's the same notion, a similar notion last week, in that they have to grade it as medium and then we have to argue it down to low impact, if anything. So that is potentially what we will do.
And he'll probably get off and he'll play next week. So don't worry about it.
Well, we'll be here on the stream.
Because Terry, Kate, what do you reckon this one is? Because you can't really say that's kicking interference. So what shall we say this? Intimidation, maybe?
I think it'll have something to do with the size difference. So, no, I mean, Dougal Howard's a big boy. Jesse Mollop's a small forward. I would say... size difference compensation technique.
Yeah. I can't wait for Carlton to just create something. Absolutely. That's a blatant lie.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So that's that. We have a game coming up this week. Would you believe it? We have a game coming up this week, and thankfully it's going to be happening sooner rather than later. We will be playing the Eagles at Optus Stadium. It'll be on Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. those of you playing along at home, I'm curious to see your ins and your outs, because yeah, it is time for a statement, you would think. Yeah, I was really not about a statement last week, but now I am. Now I'm here. Yeah, I really did resonate with what you said about we need to put some fear in across the group, in the sense of it's time for that feeling of safety to be completely removed. I don't know how it got there again. I really don't, but we're here again now. And
when we were playing well last year, like, does anyone else think it's funny that, like, Carlton, as soon as the season ended, were very active for not one, but two wingers? But O'Brien went that whole season, bar one game where he worked on his defensive pressure, never troubled for that spot. But they did trial a lot of VFL players in that wing spot.
Yeah.
No one else think that's what I'm talking about, the inconsistencies. It is comfortable. But then suddenly it's a problem at the end of the season. So that's why I want to see. I thought last week we should have had four outs. This week I'm big on the out train. Let's be honest. I'm big on the out train. I want a big brand changes. Fucking name.
Right. Five or six changes. All right. Fair. What have we got here? Gab. Out. Kerno, Fisher, Honey, Cowan, O'Brien. In. Binns, Kemp, Boyd, Carroll. Saad instead of Boyd if fit. Honey stays in if Moss doesn't get off. Thank you, Gab.
I like it.
I can't see Josh Honey playing this week.
Oh, Terry's fault. He gave him a four. Tell you, it's his fault. I've jumped off the Honey trade and I started the Honey train.
It was your boy who was sitting in a cafe in the city. No, we don't need to talk about Josh Honey for too much.
Well, we'll talk about him in about 20 minutes.
We'll get to Josh Honey in a moment. Fogarty. He is one that I'm ready to see. I thought he was still coming back from this back issue. He's now fit and firing and ready to go. And from memory, and I might be getting caught up in this conversation, but from memory, I remember when he first played for us, my first memories of Lockie Fogarty are, gee, he kicks the ball really well inside 50 and lowers his eyes. That was my first memory of Lockie Fogarty. He had a few good games to start, then fell away and fell into the trap of being a Carlton player. But the one thing I like about him is that he does tackle. So, yeah.
That's the big thing that I like about Fogg. He plays a very similar role to what Honey was doing this week, where he was running high up the ground. But he hits targets. And go back and watch last week and the game before last week. The wonderful way as well that he quite often lines up for a set shot about 50 and dinks it over his man to an uncontested mark. He's got very good vision. Now, I know people would go, Fogarty, I'm not happy with it. I don't understand why there's a 24-year-old in reserves when any other club uses that as the benchmark. Neil Bullen is basically what Fogarty was for Melbourne. When someone doesn't do right, he's in because he always hits his targets. He always does what he needs to do.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to end the show shortly and we're going to start the new stream, the player ratings. Before we do that, I've got a little preview for tomorrow. The Jumper Punch, 7 p.m. Rocco was not happy last night. I actually saw Mars at halftime. He was pretty positive. So I'd be curious to see how he shows up tomorrow. But stand by for the preview of the Jumper Punch for tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Andrew Walker. You thought I was a high flyer back in the day. Wait till you see Vince get a big run up and jump on Rocco's shoulder. Shit, I nearly got there. Hi, I'm Andrew Walker. You thought I was a high flyer back in the day. Wait till you see Vince get a run up. Jump on Rocco's shoulders. Tuesday, 7 o'clock. Get at it.
Andrew Walker, the Skywalker. I tell you what, he'd be handy on the half forward line right now, wouldn't he?
Fucking Boz would be, probably now. Cooter would be now. Like, fucking, mate, you and me, high half forward. I would wager. I wish we could put this to the test, but I would put money. Professional AFL game. You, me on the high half forward line would do better than Jesus and Fisher.
I would not be doing better than Jesus and Fisher.
Honey and Fisher, we would box them, mate.
So Jumper Punch tomorrow at 7 p.m. Preview will be out on Wednesday this week.
Fuck, that's early.
Yeah, that is early. Okay, maybe Thursday. We'll get into the report. The team, the rest, the teams. It's another week. We've still got a little bit more to talk about. For those of you who want to stick around, we're going to end this show shortly, and then we're going to go live again for the live player ratings. And you will be able to submit your ratings and votes for the players while Pommy and I discuss it. We'll go through every single player and give them votes. So firstly, thank you for being here tonight. Still disappointing, still very frustrated, and still hoping for a corner to be turned. And we'll see you in 60 seconds. Thanks, Pommy.
See you in about 60 seconds.